Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Element Lounge starting at 2 on the bench.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill Michaels Show, we are on the air, and we are glad you are on board today. Welcome to the Madness, day two, as March Madness gets back at it. Momentarily, the games will be coming on, and we'll get back into college hoops, missing four. I said three when I started the show today, missed four, actually, and I made a mention of that. I had one in the East bracket. I lost the Minnesota-Louisville game, as Minnesota ended up getting the win. I lost two in the West bracket. Syracuse got beat by Baylor, and that was a close call. I went with Syracuse. I really thought that Jim Boeheim's team, with the experience he had, might end up pulling that thing off, and they didn't. And then I lost the Nevada game. I thought for sure Nevada was going to pull away. Florida, I knew, was a tough team coming in out of the SEC. The SEC is always a very tough conference. I just didn't think Florida was going to be that good, and they did. And they ended up knocking off Nevada. But the Seton Hall-Wofford game I took a shot at. I thought Seton Hall playing okay down the stretch. Wofford 29-4, though, on the season. And you just don't hear a lot about them. I got to admit, it was one of those games in which I went with the name over the record and over maybe the statistics. But Wofford ended up getting the win, so I took the Seton Hall loss. Other than that, my brackets aren't bad. And the best part about it is every team that got beat, I have them getting beat in the next round anyway. So as far as, you know, losing an Elite Eight or a Sweet 16 or even a Final Four team yesterday, I'm still hanging tough. So I'm feeling pretty good in that aspect. 855-830-8648, talking about a lot of different stuff. Marquette basketball, obviously. A lot of talk about Wojo and whether or not he should or shouldn't be in the hot seat. And many of you have a big opinion on that. And then the word coming down yesterday, the Brewers, with their, you know, relief pitching, and Corey Knebel having a UCL injury, ulnar collateral ligament injury, not a tear, not a complete tear, not requiring Tommy John surgery, but more so a strain. He's going to go get a second opinion. The good news is, at least according to the Brewers and David Stearns and Craig Counsell, is it's not season ending. The bad news is that you don't know how long he's going to be out, and you don't know how he's going to be coming back, and you don't know how much work he's actually going to be able to do. And if that is torn, to what extent, and how much time is left on it before it does fully tear, if indeed it's torn bad enough. So a lot of question marks there. The good news also is Jeremy Jeffers threw yesterday and looks to be on the road to recovery. His velocity was up yesterday. So the good news is that Jeremy Jeffress, right now on the 10-day, is it the DL or the injury list?
The injured list.
The injury list now.
You know what? I'm tired of being politically correct on some stuff. I think I'm just going to stick with DL over here. And just,
well, he's not here for 10 days. Anyway, threw pretty well yesterday. So that maybe gives you a little bit of a sigh of relief. And the Kimbrel thing, I tell you what, after sitting down and kind of listening, I got to admit, I was driving down to do the Milwaukee basketball hour last night, and I was listening on and off to the Marquette game, and then I flipped over and I was listening to WEEI in Boston, and they were talking about Kimbrel, and it just caught my ear, and they started talking about his numbers and down the stretch. He couldn't throw strikes. His velocity was down. He was tired, and all the innings he's thrown, and a lot of innings on that arm, and that's probably one of the reasons that he's sitting out there right now, and there's not a lot of people that want to give him that long-term deal that he was seeking. So that's the reason the Brewers haven't really jumped heavily into that pond, because he's looking for numerous years, and also in part because of what we talked about going into the top of the hour, that Major League Baseball is sitting on the precipice of a very real possibility of a work stoppage and the argument over salary caps. And if that happens, teams don't want to be stuck with bad contracts. And in addition to that, teams are trying to lock up their own guys, their own stars, to long-term deals before this thing hits. So there's some self-preservation there as well. But we'll see what happens before it's all said and done. Let's get back to the phone calls, 855-830-8648. Let's go to Marty listening to us in Neillsville. Marty, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hi, Bill. Good morning. Thank you. I just want to comment on the Marquette-Murray State game yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at the stats, and actually, when, other than getting beat, where the big difference was, Marquette had its worst day shooting this year. If you look at the three-pointer, they shot 25%. If free throws, they only got to the line 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have to beat Murray State, they would have had to at least shoot 40 out of 74. They shot 24 out of 74.
Right.
But the big thing is just looking at, looking at their lineup, and I've watched Joey Hauser and Sam Hauser over the course of when they were coming up at Stevens Point. And Joey Hauser, I think he hit a freshman the wall this year toward the end of the season. He made some mistakes that he normally never makes at
right.
all. And another thing, when you look at Wojo, I don't understand or just looking at why don't, as far as with Hauser, with Joey, with Theo John, and with Ed Morrow, pounding the ball more inside. Again, you got Sam from the outside, Marcus Howard at the car, but working the ball more inside. And I don't think they did that enough this year.
They didn't do it as much, and partly because Marcus Howard carried the team. I mean, he became the show. I mean, I know Wojo in the pre-tournament press conference said, look, it's not a one-man band, but it kind of was down the stretch. I mean, we were all enamored with Howard. Ever since he put up 40 in the second half of that game, we've become enamored with him. So with his scoring ability, and that's the way it kind of went, and his guys followed, because really everybody else around him became a piece player rather than another key player. I agree with you. Yesterday, they shot poorly. And the thing about it was, though, and appreciate the phone call, Marty, they shot 25.8% beyond the arc, but they had open looks. I mean, they just missed some shots yesterday. They just weren't hitting. But when you look at what Murray State was able to do, the way they moved the basketball, got open looks, they were 9 of 18 beyond the arc, 50%, and 30 of 56 from the field. That's 53.6% compared to what Marquette was shooting at 32.4%. And the Marquette's shooting percentage in the second half was even worse. So, no, I agree with you. I mean, sometimes you got to create some things, but really, down the stretch, and I think that this might be an area. I think Marcus Howard should come back. I think he develops a little bit more of his game. Not to say that he's not worthy of going to the NBA, because certainly if the money's there and he believes he can get it, then go. I wouldn't fault him for that. But if he wants to become a better player, you work a little more defensively. You work a little bit more on hand-in-the-face shots in the offseason, because that was one of the things that he had taken some good shots and had some hands in his face, don't get me wrong. But when there was pressure-packed situations down the stretch, it wasn't always money. And 4 of 14 from the free throw, or from the three-point line yesterday with pressure, ain't going to cut it. I mean, if you're not hitting, you're not hitting. Shooters shoot. I mean, they always say shooters keep shooting. You're eventually going to get hot. But when you're not, you got to figure out other ways to do it.
Yeah, if you go back and look,
Sakar was 0-for-3 and had two of those were wide open looks where nobody was in his face or even in the same county.
Right.
And he's missed shots.
I mean, if you go back to the game log and look at Marcus Howard from three-point range, back to when they had their first loss against Villanova, which started this unraveling for the team. I mean, Howard was 4-of-11, then 4-of-11 against Creighton, 2-of-10 against Seton Hall, 3-of-10 against Georgetown, 3-of-6 against St. John's, 1-of-9 from three-point range against Seton Hall again, and then 4-of-14 yesterday against Murray State. Like, the one thing for me with Marcus Howard is, Marcus Howard can't be a point guard because he can't distribute. I mean, that's the biggest issue. Mm-hmm. He should be a shooting guard. Problem is, he's also 5'11", so it's a little short for a shooting guard, but that's really where he should be, and he needs to have a point guard who has a better ability, better instincts of passing the basketball in order to get Marcus Howard maybe some better-looking shots and him trying to take the ball up the court every single time.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to give us a shout, feel free to do it, 855-830-8648. 8648. Got a lot of Brewers baseball to chat about as well. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends. Our good friends. Stick with the hometown team. Our friends from the Wisconsin Biofuels Association. Hey, I've been telling you about this for a while now. I told you I had a guy the other day that stopped me in the parking lot. Had another guy email me about the E85. He did that full tank comparison. You know, go get the facts at wibiofuels.org. That's wibiofuels.org. And kind of see for yourself. Talk about the emissions, how it's a greener product. It goes into flex fuel vehicles. You can also use the unleaded 88 in cars anywhere from 2001 on. Many positive things. And the best part about it is Wisconsin workers operate 7 Wisconsin Biofuels Association ethanol plants right here in the state of Wisconsin. That's Wisconsin workers, my friend, keeping the money right here in the state to people that live, work, breathe, eat, pay taxes, go to school, all right here, support families here in the state of Wisconsin. You got to fill your car up with something, right? Why not support the Wisconsin hometown team? That's what you do. Stick with it. Go to wibiofuels.org. Don't just take my word for it, okay? Go to wibiofuels.org. Get all the facts. I encourage you to do so. And if you're over at Quick Trip or even at Jets, Jets carries it as well. If you're not in the area of a Quick Trip, go get the E15. It's called Unleaded 88 at the pump. It's higher octane, burns cleaner, saves you money. It's good stuff for your vehicle. 855-830-8648. Talking Brewers baseball, talking Marquette basketball. Let's get back to it. Ken's in West Bend. Ken, welcome to the program, man. What's going on?
Billy, how are you today?
What's up?
Man, I'm going to tell you what's up. If somebody's looking for a really good time this weekend, you head just west of Oshkosh to New Dublin, New London. They've got their parade and their Irish festival. Oh, my God, you'd lose your mind at the tens of thousands of people that will be there. But anyways, that PSA is over with. In terms of the collective bargaining, I want to talk a little Brewers. Do you really believe that the agents and the players' union are going to cave on their players having the ability to earn the maximum amount by letting a salary cap come in? I don't believe that's going to happen.
No, but they're going to give up some rights because right now, the way it is, what will happen is they'll make teams put in a salary cap floor as well, and that'll benefit everybody. So there'll be a trade-off, but they don't want a hard salary cap. The owners do, and I can see this thing coming right down the railroad tracks with two locomotives ready to hit each other.
Maybe so, but the fact of the matter is that the owners, in terms of what their earnings are versus an individual player, is obviously this is where the locomotives are going to crash. So no player in their right mind would give up that opportunity to earn, especially if you're one of a tremendous talent. So I just don't see that happening. And then I just quickly want to flip over to Joe's comment. Joe, that was an excellent analogy on Marcus Howard. He clearly is a shooting point guard because he does not dish the ball properly. You watch that kid, Ja Morant, yesterday. What a show the kid put on.
He owned it.
He looked like Russell Westbrook out there.
Oh, my God. And then you looked at Marcus Howard, and you see the guy come up when Marquette was playing their best was when they were working the wheel, as it's called in basketball. When they were moving the ball around prior to that, you know, that losing streak, they were outstanding. But as soon as they went away from that and Howard started running down the court like a fool and just shooting up wild shots and crazy shots, it just really, you really saw the dejection it appeared the other players, his teammates' faces, because they barely got down the court on offense and the ball's already going up and they don't even have a chance to rebound. You see the other team, all their shirts are under the basket already.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know what? I hope the Badgers win today, but I picked Oregon. I don't see this Badger team going any further than 1-and-done today.
Yeah, I picked Oregon as well. Appreciate the phone call as always, Ken. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of people that were upset with me, but it's like, look, half of what I did is already paid off. I just was being honest. I just didn't think, looking at Marquette down the stretch, the way they were stumbling, the way they weren't playing defense, they were allowing open looks, they weren't hitting their shots, they were clearly succumbing to pressure. You could see them kind of choking. I hate to say it, but they were choking things away. They just didn't handle that pressure very well. That's got to come from your senior leadership. That's got to come from the top. That's got to come from your coach. Like I said at the beginning of the show, just so we're on the record, I am not in the fire Wojo camp. I'm not. I'm not there. Next year comes with a bunch of pressure, but I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater this year. It just I know there's Marquette alums and there's Marquette people that were down at Major Goolsby's yesterday that were just kind of just going crazy, and talking about JUCOs and about the organization, and or more so about the institution and the athletic department and what are they doing. And, you know, I mean, I know everybody wants that Final Four run and that Dwayne Wade-esque player. And, you know, they got Dwayne Wade in. People weren't going to take a chance on Dwayne Wade. And then Tom Crean got him in. And it turned out to be one of the best things for him, not only for the basketball program, but as one of the faces of the institution. So, look, there's some good things that can happen. Look, if that's the way you want to be, that's fine. But there's certain things that ties Wojo's hands, and when Wojo does get good players, he's got to take them further than what they took them. Next year is going to be a telling year. More of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Music in all of sports. You know what time it is? Tournament time. Badgers coming up later on today, 3:30 Central, taking on the Oregon Ducks, the 12-5 matchup. Game in progress, just getting underway. The Bearcats of Cincinnati taking on the Hawkeyes of Iowa. Cincinnati, the 7 seed. Iowa, the 10 seed. Out of the South Regional. Next game on the docket, Oklahoma and Old Miss. Ole Miss, the 8 seed, Oklahoma, the 9. Then you've got the Norse out of Northern Kentucky, the 14 seed. Playing Texas Tech. That'll get underway at 12:30. UC Irvine and K-State, Kansas State. They go at 1:45. Colgate and Tennessee, Tennessee being the 2 seed. Then you've got the game a lot of people are going to be looking at, Virginia, number 1 seed, taking on the 16 seed of Gardner-Webb. Remember last year, Virginia, the first team ever in the history of the tournament as a number 1 seed to be upset by a 16 seed. We'll see if history repeats itself. Then at 3 o'clock, Arizona State and Buffalo. Arizona State getting the play-in win for the right to face Buffalo. 5:50 this evening, Washington and Utah State. You've got North Dakota State later this evening at 6:10 Central Time, taking on the number 1 overall team in the tournament, Duke. And 6:20, Georgia State taking on number 3, Houston. You've got 6:27 this evening. Number 5, Mississippi State hosting Liberty. That's Liberty out of the East Regional. And then you've got 8:20 tonight, North Carolina and Iona. The 16 seed Iona is 8:40 this evening. VCU, the 8 seed. UCF, the 9 seed. Ohio State taking on Iowa State as an 11-8 or 11-6 matchup. That's at 8:50, and then St. Louis and Virginia Tech tip it off tonight in the late game. That is at 8:57 this evening, and that is out of the East Regional. So that is going to be at the SAP Center, the SAP Center in San Jose, California. But the Badgers coming up later on this afternoon as the 5 seed at that same SAP Center in San Jose, California, facing the Oregon Ducks. Oregon traveled heavily for this game. Big fan base. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, in case you missed it last night, a really good conversation with Eric Bledsoe of the Milwaukee Bucks. You are going to hear that, at least portions of it, coming up here in about 7-8 minutes. So stay tuned for that. Do the Brewers, when it comes to their offense, now that you've had some injuries to the pitching staff, and you know you say a little prayer and you say thank you if indeed it's only a UCL sprain that Corey Knebel is dealing with, and it doesn't cost him his season. So you say a little prayer and a thank you there, and hopefully he's back, you know, June, July, something like that. That'd be a nice pickup. But if indeed you've got some problems in the pitching staff already, how much pressure does that put on this either one starting rotation, because Jimmy Nelson hopefully comes back here in a couple weeks, but how much pressure does the starting rotation have? Versus, say, how much pressure does the offense have, the other 8 players on the field? And now you're looking at almost, you know, must-haves as far as big years out of some of these players. Because you're looking at a must-have out of Yasmani Grandal in addition to this team. You're looking at maybe 30 to 35 home runs minimal out of Moose. You're looking for a consistent season out of Jesus Aguilar. You're looking for 125 games minimum out of Ryan Braun, another good season, not an MVP season, but certainly a tremendous season out of Christian Yelich to back it up. And I'm sure he wants to have one as well, because going into next season, you can only imagine what size of an extension he's going to be signing, if indeed they can get that deal done. Obviously, Lorenzo Cain, you're looking for Arcia to get off to a fast start. Travis Shaw to pick up where he left off from 2 years ago, not last year, but 2 years ago when he was hitting 280+. So there's a lot of things going on here right now that are going to have some serious pressure, because you've lost a couple of really key cogs in the pen. Corey Knebel going down with a UCL sprain, and then you've got Jeremy Jeffress right now on the 10-day DL, we'll call it, as he, even though he pitched better yesterday and things seem to be trending in the right direction, he's trying to get the strength back into that shoulder. How much pressure is on both sides? Who is carrying more pressure, that starting rotation or even maybe more so the offense? I'm thinking the offense is going to have to average almost 4.25 or 4.5 runs per game on average almost throughout this season for this thing to get back to the 95-96 win season that they had last year. And they may lose a couple because they may not have the same amount of horses or the same amount of ability in the pen. But you're looking for other guys to really step up, you know, and I hate to use that cliche because it is just that. It's very cliche to say, but, you know, Yulish Chacin had a couple of bad starts early on last year, maybe three in the beginning portion of the season, and after that he was pretty lights out. But now you're really relying upon a Chase Anderson to figure it out in the pen, to be able to come back and give you some quality innings. You're looking for a Corbin Burnes, who all say he's probably got the best stuff on the entire staff. Can he now display that as a starter? Freddie Peralta had a pretty successful campaign last year. Came in, now he's got, he worked on another pitch in the offseason. He worked on some additional things between him and Woodruff. Can they get the job done? And then Zach Davies, he got roughed up in his last outing in spring. Can he be a guy that's going to anchor the back end of that rotation? And, you know, Jacob Barnes, Josh Haders, how much can they use them in that closer's role and not burn Josh Hader up too much early on this season? So, right now, the way it looks, I mean, they're right-handed heavy in their rotation and in their bullpen. I mean, the only lefties are Claudio right now and Josh Hader. That's it. They don't have any other lefties either in the starting rotation or in the pen. So they've got some things that could ultimately hurt them coming out of the pitching staff, which to me puts a lot of pressure on this offense to go out and put up some runs and average 4.25 or 4.5 runs per ball game if they're going to get back to the 95-96 win threshold. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. But when we come back, last night we had a terrific sit-down with Eric Bledsoe of Your Milwaukee Bucks and gave us a lot of insight into that team, into his mindset, into contract negotiations with guys that are going to be coming up inside that locker room. Stay tuned. You're going to hear a lot of it coming back next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Good Friday to you. Tournament is underway. Cincinnati, boy, I tell you what, another one where I would get beat here if this ended up holding true. Cincinnati got off to a fast start over Iowa, 18-5 right now early on in this one, but still, Cincinnati just coming out and landing a flurry of punches early, and Iowa just kind of standing flat-footed right now. Cincinnati appears to be the more athletic team. Coming up a little bit later on, you've got Oklahoma and Ole Miss. And then at 3:30 Central time today, Wisconsin, the 5 seed, out at the SAP Center in San Jose, California, facing off against the 12-seed Oregon Ducks. That comes up a little bit later on. This portion of the program you've got brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical. Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED, erectile dysfunction, and they have a 98% success rate, all but guaranteeing that they can help you out. That's how good they are at treating guys with ED. So all you got to do is call 414-455-4451. Listen up, though, man. If you have the brain fog, if you are sluggish all the time, if you're moody, if you don't have energy, your stamina's down, and you're over the age of 30, you may just want to call them and get your numbers checked. Just say, hey, I want to get my testosterone levels checked and see where I'm at. And as you get past 30, you start to decline, and that can go rather quickly for some, and that can be a big cause for all those sluggish feelings. And all you got to do is call them, 414-455-4451. They can change your life with that. Then, the all-in-one weight loss program. Last night, I had mentioned yesterday on the program that I was back on it. I'd like to lose about 20 as we get into T-shirt season and summer. I really want to have a terrific summer. I'm back on the Peloton. I'm feeling really good and biking. I got up and did it again this morning. But I was eating a big cheeseburger last night down at Major Goolsby. Somebody came. Oh, as a matter of fact, Will Fuentes, our our promotions guy, comes over and goes, hey, dude, I heard you talk. I said, I know, but it's March Madness, man. I got to have a burger, got to have some cheese curds. So I did that, but got back on the bike today. But the program does work. All you have to do is dedicate yourself to it for 30 days, and you're going to see a huge difference. Jumpstart the new you. That is our friends from Neumel Medical. Call them 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Now, speaking of Major Goolsbee's, last night it was the Milwaukee Basketball Hour featuring Steve Novak, yours truly. We had Eric Bledsoe of the Milwaukee Bucks there, and I asked him right away. I said, look, you could have gotten a lot more money and went out on the open market. Why did you re-sign with the Bucks?
Man, we got a great young, talented team. We got a great, you know, group of guys who get along, chemistry. You know, why you want to break that up? I don't know why. And we got something, you know, special. We got a chance to play for, you know, a championship, you know, beat a great team, beat some great teams in the playoffs. So that's what I want to, you know, that's why I wanted to be here. And the fans, too, man. They're unbelievable.
So, and which got a nice, right after he'd said that, got a nice response from the crowd that was there. It was a packed house last night, standing room only. Now, one of the things that he talked about, and they keep bringing it up, whether it's Pat Connaughton, George Hill, we had numerous players on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour this year, they keep talking about the guys in the locker room. I asked Bledsoe, I said, what about this chemistry?
I've been on teams where, you know, everybody up for contracts, and it's just so stressful out there playing, and it don't feel like that on this team. Everybody out there playing for one another. You know, playing for the bigger picture, and everything else to take care of itself. So once I saw that this year, it was, you know, it was easy for me.
He just really genuinely feels that this is just a good group of guys. They're just fun. They want to be together. And now it came up to Chris Middleton, because I said, look, you took less money. So is there a wink and a nod? You know, hey, Chris, Middleton, you don't have to max out. You know, take a little bit less money. You want to see Chris come back?
We don't talk about it, but at the same time, I definitely – no, kind of big. Chris, don't leave me. So
that's a big statement. It's a short one, but it's big. Look, we don't talk money, but I'm telling Chris, hey, don't leave. Don't go anywhere. He was sincere about it, too. I mean, he kind of smiled, but he said, we tell each other. We were talking off mic. He said, hell yeah, we talk to each other. We don't want to break this up. You know, we're not looking for other free agents to come in here. We want to keep this the way it is. And he said, look, I'm a small town kid. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama.
I mean, I'm a small kid from Birmingham, Alabama. It fits everything about that, and it just felt it from that point. It just felt like home. I do the same thing I do at home here, so it was just like that. I mean, I didn't have no problems with it, and I think, you know, as time go on, people gonna start, you know, to realize that.
He really genuinely liked, and because I'd asked him, I said, why, you know, you leave Phoenix. And look, every time I go to Phoenix, you know, my wife and kids, they always say, we should move here. You know, no more snow, and we'll winter here, you know. And which is what a lot of people have done. But I asked him, I said, why here? And he just said, because Milwaukee feels like my home. So why is he better? Because we had talked in the offseason. There was talk with Giannis, talking about players being selfish, and then you had Jabari, and then you had Bledsoe, and are they selfish? Can they not coexist? Are there problems? So why is it so much better this year than last?
I mean, time. I mean, everybody got their opinion of what people should or should not do. It's only time. I came probably, 15 games after this, you know, the season started. Everybody was already in the rhythm. Everybody was doing, you know, their thing, and me coming in to a group of guys that already had something already, you know, set in stone. We just had to learn each other out. I mean, it was just time. You could tell by Miami, they said they was going to win multiple championships, and what happened? They did. And over time, they, you know, started gelling. So I knew, it was going to take time for us to, you know, get to this point. I didn't know it was going to happen this soon, but it was going to take time. But we put time in the summertime together to get to this point, and that was huge for us.
So believe it or not, they all got together over the summer. That was one of the things. That was the reason they feel that they're so much better, because they just all hung out together over the summer. They wanted to get better over the summer. They didn't do it just on the court. They did it off the court. And so I started talking to them. I said, hey, look, as you're coming down the stretch here, especially with all the different changes with the injuries and such, give me the mindset heading into these games.
I mean, I pretty much go in trying to fill the game out as the point guard, knowing, you know, Giannis got it going, knowing Chris got it going, so I kind of play off that. And my game is not predicated on me scoring 30 points a night. I might score 10, might score 12, but I do all little stuff, probably get like big steals, you know, make big plays on defense. So long as I play hard on that end of the floor, everything else on the offensive end take care of itself. I mean, I'm not going to go out there and shoot, what, three threes and make all of them each night. I might go in there and go 0 for 6, but long as I bring it on the defensive end, making my opponent work and helping my teammates out on the end of the floor, everything else take care of itself.
Isn't that amazing? Because we talk so much about the offense and what they need to do, and even Bledsoe admitted he's turned the ball over a little bit as of late, but it's the defensive end where they're trying to earn their pride, so to speak, to help out the teammates, to help out everybody else. You know, we were sitting here talking last night about, look, because he's not just a spot-up shooter. He's a guy that, you know, as Steve Novak said, look, he can take a quick fadeaway, he can spot up, he can take a quick crossover dribble, and all of a sudden he's heading to the hoop and being more aggressive. So at what point does he really pick and choose his spots to be aggressive?
It's really based on my teammates. They just tell me to be aggressive, and I just pick my spots when they, you know, be aggressive. You know, when I see, you know, we're not scoring, I might, you know, be a little bit more aggressive. Or if I see, us putting up a lot of numbers, I'm going to be, you know, in attack mode, just getting in the paint, finding, you know, shooters. I know we on that night. So it's basically just, you know, getting a feel of the game. You know, as a point guard, you got to know.
Yeah.
You got to know the feel of the game before, you know, probably the second quarter of the game.
So it's dictated by his teammates. You know, he even said that there's guys that will come over and say, hey, do this or do that. You know, hey, be more aggressive. Hey, dish the basketball, whatever. So, you know, the question that Steve put up, Steve Novak said to them, hey, what makes you and Malcolm Brogdon work so well together on the court this whole season?
We aren't selfish.
Yeah.
We aren't selfish. We don't think about me. We just play for, you know, the team. Like I said, man, I play with, you know, John Wall, so I already know how, you know, things, you know, I know how to play, you know, certain That's situations. True. So I just got to let Malcolm be Malcolm. He going to, you know, do his best, him, and everybody going to be great.
So, in other words, just, you know, hey, when Malcolm's on, give it to him. When he's not, I'll take it. But they have a good rapport. He also said, you know, he don't really have to do more, because I asked him if there's more pressure on him with Malcolm Brogdon being down.
I just think I still got to play my game. You know, it ain't about doing more or doing less. It's still playing my game. You know, knowing what I got to do each and every game. Like I said, some nights I probably don't have to score as much. We still got a lot of players that can put up points any given night.
And in addition to that, he also got into the discussion when you talk about the injuries, about he doesn't have to do more, but, you know, you got quite a few guys down right now.
No question, man. As you know, the game still got to be played. The players still got to go out there and play. We need players to step up. You know, I thought our bench is doing a great job of stepping up for us. And we just got to keep fighting.
Then when we talked about that 76ers game, I know it was a little bit of a down game for the fans. I know Sixers got up early. I know there were some things that went on that maybe didn't go the Bucks' way, but I just said, hey, was that a playoff atmosphere?
It definitely was. It was definitely a playoff atmosphere. You know, but at the same time, like I said, we gave our chance to fight, gave ourselves a chance to fight each and every game. You know, not just that game. We gave ourselves a chance to win. You know, we could pull it out. And that's all Coach Bud always wants for us, is to compete. And as long as we do that, you know, I think he's satisfied with it.
You know, the amazing thing is when he got into the description of practices and such, there's a lot of things when it comes to Coach Budenholzer. They do a lot of team drills and stuff, but for the most part, it's what they call their vitamins. You go in and get your vitamins. And that is, you go in and get your work to make you better. It's not all about the team. The team comes together if you are better. So you go in and do your work. And it's not working with a bunch of other guys. It's working with an individual coach who says, okay, this particular game you had this. This was a problem. Going to your left or going to your right, or, you know, your pull-up jumper from beyond the arc, or that 10-footer that you've been clanging around. Let's work on it. They just work on things endlessly. And then they do some team drills, keep it all together, and then they hit the floor. It's completely different than anybody has any conventional coaching wisdom would tell you to be rhythmic. And he'd said, look, we play 82 games. We're in rhythm. We know that. But each guy has to do their individual job for the team to succeed. And it's just a different approach. But it was so interesting to listen to him talk. And even on, like, gym lockout days. Like, yesterday was a lockout day. And by that it means Budenholzer and the coaching staff said, I don't want to see you here. get out, go home and rest, don't do anything. And he said every guy was in the gym yesterday. Every guy, whether it's getting treatment, whether it's just shooting around, whether it's weightlifting, whether it's in the ice tubs, whatever it was, he said it was a lockout day when coach told everybody to go home and do nothing and we're locking you out, that you could still come in, your key fob worked, and every guy when he walked in the door was there. Every guy. That's this team. That's your Milwaukee Bucks. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends over at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. Don't forget, they have catering going on right now, whether it's 10 or 10,000, big sales meeting. Don't worry about it. Let them do the work. You worry about what you need to get done. That's it. Let Cousin Subs take care of it. They have subs of all types, whether it's hot subs, cold subs, party packs, big party subs. They've got everything, whether it's chips or salads or soups, desserts. Cousin Subs can handle it. Go to CousinSubs.com, whether it's for pickup or even now in some select locations, they have delivery. Go to CousinSubs.com. That's where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. This portion of the program being brought to you by good friends over there at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Don't forget, Wednesday Night Live back at the Budweiser Pavilion. They are close to finalizing the band lineup and the charitable lineup. Looking forward to it back in June at the Budweiser Pavilion at the Wisconsin State Fair Park, and it's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of summer. A couple of things. You got the Bucks back at it coming up again this evening as the Bucks are going to be taking on the Miami Heat. And, you know, this is one where I think Giannis plays in this game, Joe. Or do you bring him back home and take on Cleveland and on Marcus Johnson Day?
See, I don't agree with Sparky when it comes to, because Sparky said earlier, you know, if you're going to maybe play him on Marcus Johnson Day, nah, I wouldn't play him against Cleveland. I might play him against the Heat, though, because the thing is,
that'd be back-to-back games in which he doesn't play at home.
The thing is, with the Heat, that's a team that you might be playing in the first round. Mm-hmm. And I think the Heat will be a little pesky if that's who you have to deal with. At the end of the day, you should beat them. You will beat them. But if I can rest Giannis as much as I can between now and the end of the regular season, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to wonder if he ends up playing tonight.
Unless the number one seed becomes, if that becomes in jeopardy, where Toronto all of a sudden gets really, really hot,
mm-hmm.
Then maybe you have to do it. But
the Raptors, by the way, at home tonight, taking on the Thunder.
Also, by the way, congratulations to the Bucks on being Central Division champions. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo.
Okay. They're only two games ahead of the Raptors right now. Raptors won couple straight. Philadelphia is streaking. Not that Philadelphia should catch them, but Philadelphia's won six in a row. The Bucks 5-5 in their last 10, but still sitting at 53-19 on the season. And that's still four games better than even Golden State going to the Western Division, Western Conference. But I don't know if you sit Giannis. Who knows? I mean, I don't know what the Bucks are going to do, whether you sit him out tonight or you sit him out on Sunday. I don't know how much the fans play into it, but they sat him out the other night in Milwaukee. And when LeBron sat out and there were people upset about it, I don't know if suddenly the Bucks look at themselves and go, okay, what do we do? Because if you go through the Popovich mentality, which is Coach Budenholzer's way, he doesn't care. This is about winning in the postseason. This is not about keeping fans happy right here, right now. They have the best record in the NBA, and he wants to keep his team fresh and wants to keep his superstar fresh. So, well, I wonder what they're going to do tonight and tomorrow. Now, again, both of those are home games.
Look, I'm fine playing Giannis tonight. He was listed as probable yesterday on the injury report. The Bucks are also going to get a couple more reinforcements with Sterling Brown, who's listed as probable as well. He's been out for weeks.
Yeah.
Be good to have Sterling Brown back, who I think has been
that would be good
a key piece off the bench.
And how also, much he plays, we'll have to wait and see, though.
And also George Hill, He is also listed as probable. So it's not like half your team's going to be out tomorrow night. You're going to have some reinforcements, including Giannis. If I'm going to play Giannis either this game or the game against the Cavs, put him in against the Heat.
I hope he plays on Sunday, and I'm selfish because I'm going to the game on Sunday. My daughter dances before the game. They do their dance team dances on Sunday before the Bucks game. They're going to be on the floor down there. So be down at the game on Sunday. But kind of hoping that he plays. But I'll be one of the parents that are going to be understanding if he doesn't, while all the other parents are griping and complaining. I'll be the parent going, hey, it's all about the postseason. It's all about getting him into the postseason. Well, I paid my money for this game. Well, you've got to pay your money for the postseason. That's where you're going to see him guaranteed every game. 855-830-8648. When we come back, Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, is going to be joining us. Also, Marcus Paff of 95.3 and 99.1 FM, The Score up in Appleton. He'll join us coming up in the next hour. We got a lot yet to get to, and March Madness is underway. We'll get you updated on the scores. We've got games in progress. It's Friday during the Madness. Sun's out. Weather's warming up. Oh, doesn't get much better than this. And don't forget, coming up next Thursday, look for us, our live broadcast from Hellfire Field, opening day, Milwaukee style. Baseball will be back, and we'll be there live and in person out in front of Miller Park as the Brewers get set to open up the 2019 campaign. Can't wait. We hope to see you there. Stay tuned. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.